Matthew chapter 6, and reading from verse 9. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. We just leave the reading there for this morning, as we have been doing on previous Sunday mornings. We're looking at this prayer that the Lord taught his disciples. And when we come to study the teaching that Jesus gives in this passage on the subject of prayer, it's very obvious from the very start that Jesus wants us to put God first, even when we pray and talk to him first about the things that concern him, and not particularly about ourselves. And we do that before we come to him with our own needs. So Jesus, in this passage here, teaches us, first of all, to pray about God's name, and then about God's kingdom, and then about God's will. These are the things that concern God. And then secondly, to pray for ourselves and for our own needs. But he wants us to prioritize and ask about the things that concern God. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then, having prayed about the things that concern God, Jesus gives us three requests to make concerning our own personal needs. And in the first of these, he teaches us to ask for provision for the body. Give us this day our daily bread. Food is essential, isn't it, for our physical well-being, and we come to God and trust him to provide. Then he teaches us to ask for pardon for the soul. Forgive us our sins as we forgive others. And just as food is essential for our physical well-being, without it we would die, wouldn't we? So too forgiveness is essential for our spiritual well-being. Without it, we would die spiritually. And finally then, he teaches us to ask for protection from the devil. Deliver us from the evil one. We cannot fight the enemy alone. We will fail in our own strength, but trusting in God's strength, he will deliver us from the evil one. Now, for this morning, we're just only going to concern ourselves with the second of those requests. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And as we think about this particular section of this prayer that the Lord taught, I want to ask the question, first of all, why do we need to pray and ask God for forgiveness? And in answering that, I want to give three biblical reasons why we really do need to ask God for forgiveness. First is this. The first reason is because all sin, whatever that may be, or whoever we may have sinned against, is first and foremost sin against God. You may remember when David was confessing to God his sin of adultery with Bathsheba in Psalm 51. He said this in his prayer to God: "Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight? David recognized that God was the one he had offended, and it was God he had to come to confess that sin and cry out for mercy and for forgiveness. Remember what he said in that psalm? Blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my sin. Cleanse me from my iniquity. You remember Joseph? When Joseph was confronted and tempted by Potiphar's wife to commit adultery with her, do you remember what he said? How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? You see, Joseph too recognized the seriousness of that sin, because sin always offends a holy God. And because God has sinned against and offended, he is the one to whom we must always come and confess and ask for forgiveness. That's the first reason. The second reason why we need to ask God to forgive our sins is because he is the only one who can forgive our sins and who has the power to forgive our sin. Now, others may claim to have that power, and others do claim to have that power, but the Bible gives it alone to God, the power to forgive sins. And that is why Jesus teaches his disciples and us in this section here to pray, Father, forgive us our sins. You will remember in Mark's Gospel and chapter 2 that we read there the story of four men who brought another paralyzed man to Jesus to be healed. And the Bible says that when Jesus saw their faith, first thing he said to this paralyzed man was, Son, your sins are forgiven you. And immediately the teachers of the law, the religious leaders of that day, questioned Jesus and questioned his authority to forgive sins. They said this, why does this fellow talk like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? And of course they were right. Only God could forgive sins. But they refused to recognize that Jesus was God, and he alone had the power and the authority to forgive sins. The religious leaders of his day, because of their blindness, because of their stubbornness, because of their hatred and bitterness against Jesus, they could not and they would not recognize that fact that Jesus was God. Now, they had plenty of evidence to realize that Jesus was who he claimed to be. They saw that the sick were healed, that the lame walked, that the blind had their sight restored, and that even he raised to life again those who were dead. But all this was convincing proof which they failed to accept, that he was and proved to be who he claimed to be, the eternal Son of God, the eternal Son of God manifest now in flesh, having not only the power to heal sickness, but also the power to forgive sins. But they still refused. But those who did believe him, like Zacchaeus, like Nicodemus, like the woman of Samaria, like Mary Magdalene, like Saul of Tarsus, and like so many of us here this morning who have believed who Jesus was and believed that he had the power to forgive our sins, and we have come to him and we have trusted him and we have entered into and experienced the joy of his forgiveness. And so can you this morning. If you're here and you've never come to him, you've never asked him to forgive your sins, he can do that for you this very morning. And so Jesus taught us to pray, Father, forgive us our sins as we forgive others. First of all, because all sin is sin against God and must be confessed to him. Secondly, because God alone has the power to forgive sins. And thirdly, because no sinner will ever enter heaven unless they are forgiven sinners. We've been hearing about that already in the children's talk this morning. You see, God's heaven, as Jonathan pointed out, is a perfect place. It's a holy place. It's a sinless place. There is no sin in God's heaven, and there never will be. Revelation 21, verse 27 says this. It makes it abundantly clear that nothing impure or sinful will ever enter heaven. And it goes on to say, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now that begs the question, is your name there? Is your name written in heaven? Written in the Lamb's Book of Life? It can only be there if you are a forgiven sinner. If you've come to Jesus and trusted him, your name will be written in heaven. And if it is, you can rejoice because there is a place being prepared and reserved in heaven for you. That's the good news of the gospel. But if it's not, if your name is not there, it can be this very day written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you can cause rejoicing in heaven because Jesus said there's rejoicing in heaven over even one sinner. And if you come to him today, your name can be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you have a place reserved in heaven for you. 1 John 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And those who have truly been forgiven will experience that joy. To be forgiven is to be cleansed and to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. To be forgiven is to be justified and made pure in his sight and made fit for heaven. Paul writes these words to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 to 11. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor the idolaters, nor the adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor the drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers. None of those, Paul says, will inherit the kingdom of God. And then he adds this, and such were some of you. Past tense. That's what they were, but not now, because they have been, as Paul says, they were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified. You were forgiven when you came to Jesus. And all that's in the past. Can you imagine the church in Corinth there? Or even we can talk about the church here today. That all of us, that's what we were. But if we've been forgiven, we have been washed. We have been justified. You see, God's church, wherever it's found today, his true church, is made up of sinners who are saved by his grace, forgiven, cleansed, washed in the blood of the Lamb, and whose names are are written in heaven. Now, the message of repentance and forgiveness of sins is so vitally important and essential for our salvation that Jesus, and I find this very interesting, Jesus included it in his first message of his public ministry, and he included it in his last message to his disciples before he went back to heaven. This is how Matthew records the first message that Jesus preached in his public ministry. Find it in chapter 4, Matthew 4 and verse 17. From that time on, Jesus began to preach. What did he preach? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. So you see, from the very outset of Jesus' ministry, he is calling people to repentance, for there is no other way to get right with God and to gain admittance to heaven. Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And this is how Luke records that final message before he went back to heaven. He says, and it's recorded in chapter 24 and verse 46 of Luke, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead. That's a reference to the cross where Jesus died and where he suffered for us. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that, what did he say, should be preached in his name when he's gone. He says, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins be preached in his name to all nations. If there's one thing that Jesus wants people of all nations to know, it is that his forgiveness is always available, freely available, to all who confess their sins and in true repentance put their faith in him and in him alone. Now, before I finish, there's just one more thing I want to touch on which Jesus refers to here. In this section on prayer, he's not only teaching us to pray for forgiveness for ourselves, he's certainly doing that, but he's also teaching us to possess and to have an attitude and a spirit of forgiveness towards those who offend us or who sin against us. Listen to what he says. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Jesus expects us who have been forgiven by God to forgive those who sin against us. He expects those who are forgiven to be forgiving. Now, if God is willing to forgive us a great, humongous debt, should we not be willing to forgive others what is, in comparison, a tiny, weeny little debt? You know, this concept of forgiving others is also taught elsewhere in Scripture, particularly by Paul. He went to Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 31 and 32. There Paul says, get rid of all bitterness. Get rid of all bitterness. Don't harbor it, he says, bitterness or resentment in your heart. Instead, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. Do we have that spirit of forgiveness toward others? Forgiving each other as in Christ God forgave you. If we are forgiven, we must be forgiving of others. And again in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, Paul says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. The message is clear. If we have been forgiven by God, then we must be forgiving of others. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. How does the Lord forgive us? He forgives us fully. That is, he forgives us all our sin. The psalmist said in Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgives all your iniquities." He forgives us freely. There's nothing for us to pay. Why? Because Jesus paid our debt in full when he died on the cross. And his forgiveness is forever. It's eternal. That means he will never, ever hold our sin against us again. Once it's forgiven forever. We are to forgive as the Lord forgave us. Paul says in Philippians 2, verse 5, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And in relation to forgiveness, the Bible teaches that we are to forgive each other as the Lord forgave us. I wonder, is there someone here this morning, and you're struggling with that very issue? You're finding it hard to forgive. And I'm not saying that it's an easy thing to do, but it's a necessary thing to do. And you may have been deeply hurt by what someone has said or by what someone has done to you. A rift may have occurred, or even a relationship has been damaged. But do you know something? The only way that those deep wounds and hurts can be healed is by forgiveness, a genuine spirit of forgiveness. Having that spirit of forgiveness towards others. And even if the other party, the guilty party, doesn't seek forgiveness, I want to encourage you to forgive them in your heart anyway. Let it go. It'll only eat you away like a cancer. Let it go. And because that is exactly what Jesus did. When he was hanging on the cross, there is no record of anyone who was involved in his death coming to him and asking him for forgiveness. And yet, what do we hear him say from the cross? Those lovely words, "Father, Father, forgive them." Spirit of forgiveness. "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Jesus has given us an example that we should forgive as the Lord forgave us. And our attitude toward forgiveness should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And as I finish, I just want to say this. That means having no resentment, holding no grudges, harboring no root of bitterness in our hearts. Let it go. Let God take care of it. You know, when we display that kind of forgiveness, the door remains open to us to receiving God's wonderful blessing of his forgiveness. Whereas to harbor an unforgiving spirit in your heart will only serve to hinder that blessing. What did Jesus say? What did we read this morning? He said, "If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive, your Father will not forgive you." There's a hymn in our book, which we're going to sing in a few minutes. "God forgave my sin in Jesus' name." And the chorus goes, "Freely, freely you have received. Freely, freely give." As we have been freely forgiven, so too we must freely forgive others. Can you really sing this song that we're going to sing, God forgave my sin? Has he done that for you? Have you come to him? Have you asked him? He has taught us to pray and to come and say, Father, forgive us. Father, forgive us. And I trust that each one of us can really say from our hearts, God forgave my sin in Jesus' name. He's the one who's taken it away. And if you have, as we come to the Lord's table just shortly, you will be able to partake freely with us and share with us, because this table is for forgiven sinners, those who have been what we were in the past but are not now because we are washed in the blood of the Lamb. We're going to sing that hymn number 181, 181. God forgave my sin in Jesus' name. And then we'll come to the Lord's table.